Hello there, this is the Library Talker, also known as the Library Lady. I'm Library Talker on Blogspot at librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I'm the Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is hosted. So I'm here today to review an ARC from NetGalley called Not Here to Stay Friends by Caitlin Hill. And it's a upper YA romanticy cutesy tropey thing, and you know those of you who've listened to me before know I really like tropes. This one has some good ones and also some poor ones. So Not Here to Stay Friends is about Liam and Sloane, who were raised together in Tennessee for years. They were like best buds, joined at the hip, knew everything, could finish each other's sentences, that kind of stuff. And so they grew up together and were like really totally bonded besties. But about 5 years before, when they were around 12, Liam's parents got into a huge divorce, and Liam's dad moved Liam and himself across to LA, where he became a big time reality TV show producer. So they live in a mansion in LA, which, if you know LA, you know that's a lot of money, just to start with, you know. So they live in a big, huge home. Liam lives with his dad, who's almost never home because he's doing all the producing stuff. But Liam and Sloane have kept to, you know, they've talked to each other. They've, you know, FaceTime and constantly chatted and used the messengers on phones and everything. And they have been basically joined at the hip still, even though they've been thousands of miles apart from each other, since Sloane is in Tennessee and Liam's in LA. Well, Liam finally gets his dad to let him offer an invite to have Sloane come and visit LA when they're both about 17 years old. And so for the first time, they've seen each other face-to-face, person-to-person in 5 years. And Sloane has this big, huge list of things that she wants to do that summer, and she's all prepped and is like, yay, I'm gonna be with Liam, my best buddy, again. And of course, when they see each other, they're each like, holy crap, it's been 5 years. Dang, that person looks different. And you know, of course, where it's going. You know where everything is going to be heading that way. So, you know, she's got this plan. They go to the mansion. She's like, ooh, ah, isn't that like, wow, huge. But she's still like, I just want to be with Liam. And I just want to hang out. And I just want to be with my best bud. And yeah, he's hot now, but we'll kind of just, you know, she compares it to the Lion King. So young Simba versus hot Simba. So he's grown up into hot Simba. And of course he feels the same way. Like, oh my gosh, she's like completely different and wow. And she's grown and, you know, you have those moments, but things are kind of interrupted. So they both have this favorite campy tropey show that they watch called The Cove. And it's like 90210, you know, Melrose Placey, whatever the current, I don't know, Gossip Girly thing. I have no idea. Whatever it is. It's very campy teen soap. And they're both like completely hooked on the stupid of it. They just love to talk about it. They love to watch it. They love to kind of make fun of it. Always previously on the phone or FaceTiming. But, you know, now, and it turns out that Liam's dad, this reality TV show producer, got exclusive rights to do a reality TV show based on this campy soap opera teen show. So the main characters, the on again, off agains, but also the fact that the people who play the main characters have been in gossip magazines as being on again, off again. And now they currently have broken up, this Aspen Woods and the girl that he's supposed to be dating on again, off again, who is the love interest on the show. They've broken up. So they've taken this as the perfect opportunity to set up this reality TV show called Aspen Woods Finds His New Leading Lady, or his leading lady. And the acronym comes out as AWFLL. So it's awful. And of course, I think the author went out of her way to create this acronym. There's also another acronym as part of the show where he goes on these dates with these girls, and there's ensemble dates where it's a big group thing, and then there's the scene partner date, which is then another acronym, SPD, which of course leads to thinking of another acronym, you know, another STD. So, you know, I think the author spent a little time being cute and sometimes didn't necessarily think of other things. And it gets bogged down in the fact that it's a little repetitive. And we do alternate between Sloane and Liam. So each chapter is from a different POV. And they're both basically thinking the exact same thing. Wow, that person is super hot. And it looks like that person might be into me. But no, never mind. They just said something or they acted some way. They must not be into me. But maybe they are into me, but I don't think they are into me. And so we've got this. And so Liam's dad has decided that Liam's hobby of woodworking, which Liam just loves. He loves carving and making things. That it's just not good enough. And so he forces Liam to be a production assistant on this reality TV show over the summer. And just coincidentally enough, even though they've been advertising like crazy that there will be 25 girls vying for the hand of Aspen Woods, one of the girls is a no-show. So, of course, he sees Sloane, dad sees Sloane and goes, okay. And he makes a deal with her. Not only does she need to get on the show, but she needs to last until the final four. I don't know why the final four, I don't know what happened, but the final four, she's got to get it to the last, she's got to make it to the final four, because he doesn't trust the people that were cast by these other people from the Cove, and he wants to make sure he has a ringer on his side, which is just kind of stupid, because who knows what, so she doesn't initially want to do it, but then he offers her all the stuff that she wants. She wants to be a screenwriter, so he offers her a recommendation and an interview with people at the film schools in the area. And he'll make sure that she gets in and that she meets all the right people. And so she gives in and she says, okay, fine. So she ends up having to live on the set of The Cove, which, coinkadinkly enough, the production company, for some reason, decided to buy 3 houses on the beach for this show to make it more authentic. I'm like, no, there's no way. These are multi-million-dollar houses on the beach. There is no way that, one, you could get 3 of them in a row. 2, that any production company worth their salt would have bought them. Let's just start off with the stupid, insurmountable odds of the believability of that. There is absolutely no way that the cheapskates of Hollywood would buy 3 multi-million-dollar mansions, somehow 3 in a row, so that they could, you know, do this. No, there's no way in heck. So anyway, all right. So they've changed the sets, they've changed the homes inside to add bunk beds and everything so that these 25 girls can live in these 3 different houses, or 2 different houses, one on each side of the house in the middle that is going to be Aspen Woods' home, quote unquote, during this whole thing. And so it's a bachelorette thing, and he meets everybody, and for some reason, instead of toasting with champagne, because they're all like 17 years old, they toast with ice pops, which is something from the show, apparently. And so they are starting this thing, and now, unfortunately, because she's on a reality TV show, she has to give up her phone, and now she sees Liam behind the scenes, but they can't really talk that much, and yet they still find ways to talk. And so they're, you know, now we've got this whole thing of, she looks like she's into him, but maybe she's not. And then Aspen, for some reason, decides that Sloane is the one he's going to take to the end, even though she already stated up front that she really doesn't like him. And he overheard all of that. So Aspen's going to pick her to go to the end. And so he needs Liam's help, on Leon Cyrano de Bergerac's the thing and gives him help to woo Sloane. So then Sloane's like, well, maybe he is. Maybe Aspen is this nice guy. I don't know, but he seems fake. But then he does these nice things. And Liam's like, why does she keep falling for him? And it's like, well, duh. And so the drama on this is so kind of campy. And yet there are moments that work. Not a lot of them. So it's kind of, and there's the whole thing of, we're going to leave notes in this planter thing over here, so that we can talk to each other. And then they trade like three notes and then talk about how the, you know, everybody else knows about them trading notes in the planter, but then you never see anything else above it. There's just these three moments of checking the planter and that's it. And it's like, wait, I thought that was important. No. Okay, fine. All right. Never mind. Not important. Sloane is also really not good at this whole camera thing. She keeps saying inappropriate things and things happen to her, which are trying to make it like really comedic and just kind of fall as, I don't know, not really klutzy, just really bad luck, or I'm not sure. So yeah. And of course, you know how it's ending, you know how it's going to be, you know what's going to happen at the end of it all. It's not, it's a predictable rom-com-y plot. It's not huge and gigantic and overwhelming and oh my gosh, it's amazing. It's just, it's what it is. So if you walk into this book knowing that it is camp, knowing that it is going to be just cotton candy, and you're not going to get anything out of it but a couple of hours of entertainment, then this should be just fine. I say go for it at that point. But yeah, if you want a serious, you know, like, oh, I want some real romance, I want spark, I want chemistry, this is not going to be your thing, because it's really frustrating how they keep having the same in their head conversations. I think he likes me. Maybe he likes me. It's hard to tell if he likes me. Oh, wait, that look that he had. Maybe he really does like me. Never mind. He did this thing. He must not like me. I think she likes me. I think this seems like she may have liked me. Look at that look that she gave at that moment. It seemed that she liked me. No, never mind. She said something. She must not really like me. That happens over and over and over and over again. So yeah, it has its moments. And again, it's cotton candy. If you're going to walk into it knowing that this is going to be campy, that it's going to be tropey, that it's going to have, some moments of complete unbelievability, like, you know, this whole thing, then you fine. Now, I will say the relationship between Liam and his dad is, pretty realistic and pretty kind of awful. It's there. And then the realistic between the relationship between Sloane and her parents, she's the middle child and the older brother is like super academic and super smart and super gets, you know, does everything right. And he's the perfect brother. And then the younger sister is a pageant girl. And so mom is spending all her time, with pageant girl. So, you know, taking her, doing dress shopping, blah, 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 totally ignoring Sloane. So Sloane is on the outs, and it is a little surprising that when this comes up, because she's 17, they have to get parent permission. Her parents immediately say, sure, go ahead, whatever, and let her be on a reality show with no discussion, and no discussion at all with Sloane. We only see her talk to her mom once, and her mom just cuts her off and goes, I'm sorry, we've got to do this thing for your little sister, and then leaves. So, okay. I will say there's a lot of discussion about the back end of reality TV programs and how, you know, the producers are trying to get those right lines and get people to say things that can be edited into ways that make them look good or bad. So there's some moments there. So it is an interesting look at how reality TV works. There's a lot of downtime, which I don't quite believe in the land of reality TV, like whole days off, which just, it doesn't strike me correctly. I mean, I'm pretty sure they just go hard for a couple of, you know, for a week or two, and then poof, they're done. And then they stretch it over a couple of months of production. But I could be wrong. So anyway, all right, Not Here to Stay Friends by Caitlin Hill. It's not due to come out until April of 2023. So, you know, we all may forget about it by then. But the rating I'm going to give it, you know, I rate things 1 to 5, 1 being avoid police tape, stay away as far away as possible, 5 being this is the most amazing thing ever, you really, really, really have to read this, 2 being 3 being and 4 being this is an this is a 3. And I'm giving it a 3 because there are some moments and there is a little bit of realism in some of the relationships, but it's not going to go any higher because it really is more like a 2.5 or so that's where we are right now. So I recommend it just for fluff, just for if you're a Hallmark movie type of person. This is a book that will fit in perfectly with the Hallmark series, you know, in terms of just complete fluffy, tropey, whatever. So if you like Hallmark movies, go for Not Here to Stay Friends. If you don't like cotton candy and you want something that's actually seriously feels like a real romance between a real relationship between people, then this is not the book for you. So 3 out of 5 for Not Here to Stay Friends, Caitlin Hill. And hopefully you guys enjoy it. If you have questions or comments, again, this is the Library Talker. I'm librarytalker.blogspot.com. And I'm also on Podomatic under Library Lady, where this podcast is hosted. So thank you very much. And I hope you guys have a really great day.